There's people starving. There's people with no jobs. That's the crisis in this state, not animals running at large.
It was a jungle out there. Lions and tigers, monkeys and bears.
It's a scene out of a far-fetched horror film.
The death toll was staggering and inexplicable. One man and 50 exotic animals.
In 2011, Ohio exotic animal owner Terry Thompson committed suicide after setting his animals loose. No civilians were injured, but law enforcement killed many of the escaped animals. People clamored for action, and the state responded by introducing the Dangerous Animal Act in record time, placing restrictions on owning and caring for all sorts of animals, from reptiles to primates.
To focus on this and this law as fast as they did, and to pass it as fast as they did, was nothing but a knee-jerk reaction.
Cindy Huntsman is the president of Stump Hill Farm in Massillon, Ohio. Cindy and a few other exotic animal owners sued the state over the law, and after a long appeals process, the court ruled to maintain the act in March of 2014. The Ohio Department of Agriculture commented, "We are pleased with the court's decision to once again uphold the constitutionality of this law. We hope this question has now been firmly laid to rest and that the state can move forward with continuing our enforcement of these safety and care regulations for dangerous wild animals."
We've got a real problem with legislation in response to a crisis being rammed through because oftentimes it's hastily done, it's poorly done, and it does not respect individual rights.
What happened in Zanesville was an isolated incident.
Despite the proliferate ownership of these wild animals in Ohio for all of these years, that was the only incident that anybody could point to. One incident in, 200 plus years of Ohio history.
Attorney Maurice Thompson has been keeping an eye on the act since it was first introduced and says that while it's well-intentioned, it's overkill.
You could think of it kind of like this. Like, if you're going to have wild animals in Ohio, you basically need to have like the equivalent of a maximum security prison. You need to have like walls that are so high, you need to have a minimum 2-acre lot, no matter what kind of an animal it is. It could be for monkeys, and you still need a 2-acre lot. The same size applies to a monkey that would apply to a tiger or a rhinoceros.
The new requirements are not what I call in the best interest of the animal. For instance, raising our cages to 12 foot with the snow and the ice that we've had this winter, all it does is make our cages weaker and make them more susceptible to cave-ins.
Huntsman adds that aside from these regulations not being effective, they're also very difficult to comply with.
For individuals who have had animals or own animals that are on that dangerous wild animal ban, it's very hard for them. Trying to get insurance has been the most exhausting for everyone. Then trying to meet the cage requirements, trying to meet the requirements that the state wants for veterinary care. It's very taxing for the individual. It's cost us over $70,000.
Because owners dedicate their lives to taking care of these animals, Thompson says they have more expertise than lawmakers.
You may say, well, it's unsafe to own these animals. Well, these owners have been approved through all kinds of federal accreditation programs. But what Ohio has said is that the federal accreditations aren't good enough.
But the Ohio Department of Agriculture told Reason that the federal qualifications and requirements are too loose and don't properly manage the ownership of the animals. But if the state's new regulations are too rigid, there aren't many options left. Some owners are seeking refuge at sanctuaries like Stump Hill for their animals like Maya.
She came to us about 4 months ago. People had her as a pet. She was very well cared for. They just couldn't meet the requirements that the state had set forth for them, so they surrendered her here.
But once sanctuaries reach capacity, owners who can't comply will be forced to surrender their animals to state facilities. The Department of Agriculture says these facilities are for holding the animals until they can find a better home. But that's not how the owners have interpreted it.
The law doesn't allow for anything else but to euthanize them. People in the animal industry call the new building that they've built in Reynoldsburg the death chamber.
It's too early to tell what will actually happen to the animals, but in balancing what's best for the animals with public safety needs, Thompson says the new regulations miss the mark. So how can we properly protect society from these potential escapes?
If the animals cause harm, or if the animals are even loose and roaming the streets, then you throw the book at these people. But like many things in society, you have to understand that punishment or the prospect of punishment has a deterrence effect that will cause people to be more careful in how they conduct themselves. And you have to rely upon the court system rather than over the top, in your face, and beforehand regulations to accomplish these goals.
I've always felt that people are entitled to their choice of pets, as long as they can maintain them. And the animals that we've gotten in that have been surrendered to us because of this new bill have been well cared for.